Exodus chapter 20. I'll try not to talk too long. I feel bad for you because Exodus chapter 20, starting in verse 8, the start of what I number as the third commandment, this is the longest commandment written. More explanation is given to this commandment than any other, which should tell us something. This is the one that I believe is ignored greatly by the church. I believe that pastors all over America are in great violation of this commandment. And I think we need to take a look at it, especially as suburban America continues in its quest for work. I think this is very timely. All right, here we go. Let's read through it, and then I'll give you my comment here. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. Neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. This is what we're going to consider for today. Boy, there's so much to be said about this. Where do we start? As close to the end as possible. Here we go. I know I've already used that joke. I'm sorry. Where do we start on this? When was the first time this commandment was introduced? When did the first concept show up? Creation, good. Genesis chapter 1. God worked for 6 days and then he rested. Quickly, was God tired? Yeah, it's like after 6 days, he's like, woo! Man, give me a Dr. Pepper. I need to sit down and take a load off. This ain't going to work. Yeah, Stephen. Yeah, well, I'll just be honest with you. I don't think we ever know. Now, the tradition came down that the Sabbath was Saturday. But the calendar, to be honest, has been changed how many times? I mean, it's been modified. I mean, for all I know, it could be Tuesday. So take a break on Tuesday if you want. I'll get to it. Colossians 2:16 is our big verse when we talk about this. Might I say something about this too? This is my premise. I told you that I was going to take a look at these commandments in a brand new way. I was not going to look at them as the way I've always been taught, but I was going to search scriptures and try and find out exactly what is being meant by this. And I'll be honest with you, the third commandment has very little to do with worship. You've never been taught that, right? Neither was I. You know, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy was, you should be in church. And, of course, it was hard to preach it because, come on, you should be in church. Oh, you're already here. You know, how do you preach this commandment to the people that are actually there? I believe it has so much more to do with greed than it does with worship. Now, is there worship involved in this? Yes, because there was that sacrificial system, and they were commanded that on the Sabbath, that was part of their worship time, and that when they would go on sacrifice, and that's how it was passed down years and years and years and years. I believe that that's part of the intent, but that's not the original intent of the verse. Deuteronomy helps us with this as well. Deuteronomy is a second telling of the law. Deuteronomy 5, if you want to see the Ten Commandments respoken, Deuteronomy 5 is the place to go. Here's the explanation on the third commandment. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Do you catch that? The key on this, remember that you were slaves. This is picked up then in 1 Corinthians. For he who was a slave when he was called, the Israelites, was called by the Lord, is the Lord's freed man. Similarly, he who was a free man, you and I, when he was called, is now Christ's slave. This idea of freedom is so crucial throughout all of scriptures. And the reminder here is, how long were they in slavery for? 400 years. How many times did they take a day off? Zero. There's no days off for slaves, right? No days off. They worked for 400 years. No one, which is why, again, drives me nuts when I hear people talk about how the Ten Commandments are God's, God's whip. Don't kill. Don't commit adultery. And goes through and on and on and on. This is the perfect example to tell you that these commandments were not given to punish us, but to bless us. God is saying, take a day off. You were slaves. You worked and you worked and you worked. And now it's time for you to take at least one day in seven as a rest. Go ahead and search all the other religions, all the other ancient religions, Mesopotamia, Babylonia, all of Assyrians, all of those religions never talked about days off because they wanted you to work, 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 work. And it has to do with the fact that these poor people have been enslaved for so long, and now they're finally getting a chance to take a break. Remember, this is also, let's also skip forward. I'm going to be jumping all around the Bible, so please bear with me. Exodus chapter 31. Keep your hand here. Exodus 31, if you want to write that in your Bible, please do. It'll help you do it. Exodus 31 is the final instructions given to Moses prior to him going down and them, you know, he's seeing them dancing around the golden calf. So from chapter 20 all the way through 31 is all instruction material given to Moses while he was up on the mountain. 40 days and 40 nights. So he was up there, and chapter 31 is the last chapter. Check out, it would be fascinating to say, what was the final parting instruction for Moses when he was leaving the mountain? What did God want to leave as the final thing to remember as he left? Well, Exodus 31, start at verse 12. You can see the heading. Then the Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. Observe the Sabbath, because it is holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it must be put to death. Do you think God's serious about this commandment? I think so. Whoever does any work on that day must be cut off from his people. For 6 days, work is to be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day must be put to death. Yes, Jesus and God has often a repetitive problem. I think it's because we have a listening problem, and so we kind of have to hear things a couple of times. The Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating for the generations to come as a lasting covenant. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he abstained from work and rested. When the Lord finished speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave him the two tablets of the testimony, the tablets of stone inscribed by the finger of God. The very last parting instructions was there. Now, you know, creation was one of the places where it was first introduced. Where was the second place it was introduced? You remember? Happened in the book of Exodus. They just left Egypt. And there was this good stuff that came down from heaven. And 6 days it fell. And on the sixth day was a double portion. And that was where it was first introduced. This is not a commandment to be taken lightly. I'm not joking. God seems to be rather serious about that. If you want to write that in there, that was Exodus 16 is where that passage shows up, if you want to reread it. Now, what does the word Sabbath mean? Yeah, you're hesitant now because, you know, I'm going to trick you, huh? Because I've always been taught that Sabbath means Saturday. Doesn't mean Saturday. You know what Sabbath means? Stop! If I was translating, and sure enough I did, I went through all the times the word S-B-T-H, Sabbath, shows up all throughout scriptures. Half the times it's translated as stop. It's used as a verb. It's not Saturday. Sabbath means you must stop. Okay, I'm sure you're having the question. This is exactly what I did. What is the definition of work and what is the definition of rest? Have you ever wondered that? Yeah, I mean, that totally, you've heard me say it, that on the Sabbath day, on my Sabbath day, happen to be working, right? On Sundays is a day of work for me. I enjoy you guys, and it's wonderful, but yes, I count this as part of my work week. If you want to see my day off, call me on Monday and watch. I won't answer the phone. Mondays are my day off. And I always struggled with this as nowadays the world always seems to be working. You know, remember the days? I don't. But this is for the benefit of you older people. Do you remember the days? This is just truth. I don't know the days when Sundays were holy. Apparently there used to be a time that Sundays, nothing happened. No soccer games. No stores were open. It was a day of rest. And when we started borrowing stuff from other cultures, why did we not borrow the siesta from Mexico? Are we just idiots or what? Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. The time at 4 o'clock, everything shuts down. You can't buy or sell. It's very important. And somehow, We have lost the concept of the Sabbath. Now, again, I pose the question, what is work and what is rest? This is something I struggled with. Because, you know who I thought of? I thought of my wife. My wife does an amazing job, God bless her soul, of taking care of the house and our kids. So does that mean on Sundays, she's not supposed to wipe any butts and change no diapers? And all the mothers in the world are like, oh, you know, and all the guys are like, ugh. Yeah. Is that what it means? Is that the definition of work and rest? I'm here to tell you, no, it's not. No, it's not. I did. I've been seriously struggling with it because I want to know this. I want to understand, what does it mean when God says, take a break? And I found this. You're going to have to look up some passages with me, and this will clear things up for you. What are we looking up? Amos chapter... Oh, do I have Amos chapter 8 up here? Oh, I'm so intelligent. Amos chapter 8. And modest. Moses was the most humble man on the earth. I'm the second most humble. Amos chapter 8. Hear this, you who trample the needy and do away with the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath be ended that we may market wheat? What they're saying is, I don't want to take any rest, and the Sabbath is unimportant because I want to sell grain. I want to sell my wine. I want to make a dollar. The same thing happens in the book of Nehemiah. You're going to have to turn there, unfortunately. Sorry. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum. Where is Nehemiah? This is Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 1 Kings, 1 Chronicles. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs. There we go. Woo! Yeah, aren't you confident in me now? Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs. We're in the book of Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah, what are we doing looking at? Nehemiah 13. Nehemiah was a guy who was rebuilding the wall. That's what you really got to remember about Nehemiah. The Jews had been scattered. They'd been conquered in 722 and 586. They'd been carried off into what was called the diaspora, the dispersion of the Jews. They had separated, and they wanted to get back together. And it would have been an amazing miracle if the Jewish people would have actually recoalesced and been brought back. And sure enough, during Nehemiah's time, it started happening. They were going to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem in order to have an actual city that they call their own. Now, Nehemiah was a pretty big reformer too, because he brought back the law and he said, hey, why don't we read the Bible and see what it says? Maybe we should follow that if we're going to, you know, be called people of God. And so they did that. I don't know, what verse am I looking at? Nehemiah 13, starting at verse 15 and following. Okay. So imagine they're rebuilding the wall. They're building. Nehemiah 13, verse 15. In those days, I saw men in Judah treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in grain and loading it on donkeys together with wine, grapes, figs, and all other kinds of loads. And they were bringing all this into Jerusalem on the Sabbath. Therefore, I warned them against selling food on that day. Men from Tyre who lived in Jerusalem were bringing in fish and all kinds of merchandise and selling them in Jerusalem on the Sabbath to the people of Judah. I rebuked the nobles of Judah and said to them, what is this wicked thing you're doing, desecrating the Sabbath day? Didn't your forefathers do the same things so that our God brought all this calamity upon us and upon this city? Now you are stirring up more wrath against Israel by desecrating the Sabbath. I love what Nehemiah does. He's a radical kind of dude. When evening shadows fell on the gates of Jerusalem before the Sabbath, I ordered the doors to be shut and not open until the Sabbath was over. I stationed some of my own men at the gate so that no load could be brought in on the Sabbath day. Once or twice, it took them a little bit to figure it out. Once or twice, the merchants and sellers of all kinds of goods spent the night outside Jerusalem. But I warned them and said, why do you spend the night by the wall? If you do this again, I will lay hands on you. From that time on, they no longer came on the Sabbath. Then I commanded the Levites to purify themselves and go and guard the gates in order to keep the Sabbath day holy. This was the passage. This was my aha moment when I finally figured out what it's talking about. Remember, the Sabbath day is to prevent us from becoming greedy. Because what was happening? It was on that Sabbath day of rest, the merchants and the sellers and the wine vineyard owners were doing their work because they wanted to make some money. Because I asked myself, after, you know, they got the gate shut and the Levites were sent to guard them, I said, wait! They're working. That's exactly what I said. They're working. So we're breaking one to hold the other. And that's when, and then I compared that back with the Amos one, and then all the way back to Exodus 16, the passage about the manna. That's when it finally all clicked to me. The idea here is you need to take a break from your work. Whatever makes you money, you need to take a break. You cannot be so consumed with making money that you work 7 days a week. And that's what we have come to do. UPS's popular slogan, they don't do it anymore, I think probably because the Christian community lashed out, but they had a slogan, we work 7 days a week because America works 7 days a week. And that's not supposed to be the case. Which is why, sorry gentlemen, when you go home, you can still vacuum. Because last time I checked, you didn't vacuum for a living. You don't vacuum for money. Which is why some people say, yes, on Sunday we shouldn't do any work. Well, if that was the case, at 6:30 in the morning, I'd be unloading that trailer by myself. Oh, can't work on the Sabbath. That's not the issue. The issue is about greed and monetary issues. And yeah, have you seen that commercial, car commercial that's out really? The kid's driving, you know, the dad's driving the car and the kid's there and they're driving by all these other cars and they're getting their business suits on and they're hopping in the car with their briefcases. And the kid looks at him and says, hey, Dad, isn't it Saturday? Oh, very telling, isn't it? Very telling that all these gentlemen were still focused on working, that they would work through the weekend. And we've all been guilty of this. Do you know that pastors have a high divorce rate? Do you know why pastors have a high divorce rate? Because they never see the families. I know a pastor for 3 solid years, never took a day off. 3 solid years. Another pastor even wrote about it, a guy by the name of Eugene Peterson wrote a book, and in it he started off by saying, we need to reclaim the Sabbath. He said that he came home from church one time, all his stuff was outside. He was a pastor. All his stuff was outside. And the wife said, I can't take it anymore. You're gone all the time. And he gives his plea, and he says, No, I've gone to stuff with my daughter on, you know, Tuesday nights. And so they sat down and calculated it out that over a 5-year period, he only went once. Now, I don't know how your life is. If you're working 7 days a week, unfortunately, you're breaking the Sabbath. If you are so focused, if you think this world will not work without you, which is what I'm preaching to pastors here too, if you think that the world is going to fall apart if you're not working, you have an ego problem. If you think you need to work seven days a week to survive, you, my friend, are in big trouble. You got to ask yourself why. Ask yourself this question. If this is a problem, why do you feel the need to work 7 days a week? And there's only a few answers. If there's problems at home, guess what? Working 7 days a week, it's only going to compound those problems. It's going to be even worse. Yes, Richard. Yeah, well, they used to have these things called parsonages, and that's why, you know, if something ever happened and you needed the key to the church, just go knock on the pastor's door. I mean, he's not doing anything. Yeah, which is why go ahead, give it a try. My cell phone number, 342-2718. Call me tomorrow. You can get my voicemail. I will not pick up the phone. Now, obviously, if someone's dying or dead, then I'll work on Monday and take a different day off. But I cannot get into the idea that I think that I'm the only one that can do the work. And that's what happens with a lot of us as well. We're working, we think, well, I'm going to get fired. Well, fine. It ain't worth it anyway. If you are working 7 days a week, physiologically you will eventually die of the stress and the heart attack. Do you hear the love coming through this commandment now? God is not trying to hammer you. He's trying to tell you, look, you need rest. Some people say, I don't need rest. I'm strong. I can function off of 4 hours of sleep. I know that's what Mark Thomas is going to say when he grows up. He only gets 4 hours of sleep now. And he's like a wild spazzo cut child. It's crazy. I wish I had his energy. No, I'm probably glad I don't, because then I'd work 7 days a week. But some people say, I have a lot of energy. I would be bored if I just didn't do any work. Well, guess what? God has a lot of energy too. He worked 6 days and then he stopped. And again, was it because he needed to? No, he did it for us. in order to set an example. Now, this is where, unfortunately, some people get into some sticky stuff that I think is not right. There eventually grew up a tradition during this time and then through Jesus' time where they would not even lift a finger to help someone because it was the Sabbath. The Sabbath became so holy that it was to the detriment of people around them that people were like, nope, can't help you, sorry. Nope, can't give you $5. Nope, sorry, your oxen fell into a well, you know, I can't help you get them out, it's the Sabbath. And they were phenomenally crazy about this. And then along came Jesus. And I ask a question to you. On what day of the week did Jesus always do his healings? Isn't that fascinating? What was the original indictment against Jesus? It wasn't blasphemy. It didn't start as blasphemy. Working on the Sabbath was where it started. And then it kept. And then he said this crazy thing. I am the Lord of the Sabbath. You got to understand, the Sabbath was made for you, not you made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made so that you can get some rest and you can recharge your batteries and you could take a break from your 6-day-a-week schedule so you can not become so greedy. That's the idea. Write these passages down. We're not going to look at them, but just have them as a reference. Isaiah 56 and Isaiah 58. Read those if you want some more information about the Sabbath. Now, two other New Testament scripture passages really help illuminate this, and one that I was referring to, Stephen asked his question, was when is the Sabbath? Because there are, I don't know, have you met them? People that say if you worship on Sunday, you are breaking the Sabbath. Those are usually called Seventh-day Adventists, and they say that the mark of the beast, the 666, is if you worship on Sunday. And you know that? Pretty fascinating, huh? And then I usually whip out Colossians 2:16 on them, and they really don't know what to say. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a... Don't! There it is. Bummer, isn't it? It's there in black and white. It's not a question of which day you worship. You can worship any day you want. You can rest any day you want. It doesn't have to be Sunday. You can go ahead, work on Sunday. You guys are probably going to go out to eat afterwards. And who are you going to run into? You're going to run into a waitress. She's working. I just pray she's not working 7 days. I pray that there's another day that's her Sabbath. Yes. Yeah, the 46 days on Lent. Yeah, I won't. Did anyone give up anything for Lent? Yeah, you good ex-Catholics, you. No, I'm just kidding. No, some people give up stuff for Lent. And I was talking to my neighbor, and you know how to cheat on Lent, right? You know how to do that? I was just telling Cynthia to, because there's 46 days from Ash Wednesday to Easter Sunday. So how 40? I thought there was 40 days in Lent. Well, actually, there's 46 because there's 6 Sundays. And you're not supposed to be celebrating Lent on Sunday. So if you gave up, like, chocolate for Lent, then on Sunday just, you know. I gave up dieting for Lent, so I'm going to be okay. Now, Hebrews also has a very interesting passage. There remains, then, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. One of the main purposes that the Sabbath was created was to make sure that you know full well that there will come an end to this madness. There will eventually come an end to this thing we call the rat race. And that's when we finally get to enter into the true Sabbath rest. It takes a death. It takes two deaths. The death of Jesus Christ to win it for us, and then our own death so that we might enter into it. It was given not just as something for us to do now, but it was given also as a model. So that you know, so you don't go crazy in this world. So you eventually don't go nuts trying to continually work. Eventually there's going to come a day when it's no longer going to happen. And you're not going to have to worry about money. It'll be a thing of the past. And every day will be a worship day. The descriptions of heaven always seem to have a theme of worship. And heaven is going to be a place that we can have ultimate worship and ultimate rest. Rest is not inactivity. Did you hear that? Rest is not inactivity. Sorry, guys, if you want to go home and rest, vacuum. Sorry, ladies, if you need to change a diaper, you still have to. But there will come a day when that won't happen anymore. There will be a day of rest where we will be simply praising God for eternity. Now, I know that to some people that sounds horrifically boring,
but I guarantee it won't be. It will be the most exciting thing. There remains a Sabbath day for you and I. And I challenge you, and this is something my wife constantly calls me every day. Honey, you've worked 8 hours. Get home. She's good at it. She keeps me on task. She keeps me focused because I have a wife. I have 3 children. I have 2 dogs and a couple of fish. And I've got a house. I've got a life. And it's important for me to make sure that my life is not consumed with workaholism. I promise one of these days I will write a book, The 7 Acceptable Sins of the Church. And the number one is the breaking of the third commandment. Too much workaholism going in. My friends, take a break. God wants you to. He desires to fellowship with you. He wants to rest with you. He wants to talk with you. Sometimes when we're so consumed with our own life and our own work, we're never going to get that chance. How come God doesn't speak to me? How come God doesn't lead me? Well, maybe it's because we refuse to be led by the green pastures, by the still waters, where He wants to commune with us and celebrate with us. It's a great opportunity, my friends. Let's pray. Father, for the Sabbath day, we thank You, because I know I think I would go nuts working 7 days a week if my life was consumed with nothing but making a little bit more money. I would be in a world of hurt. And I thank You that I can take time off to be with my wife, to play with my children, and even to do a little activity such as mowing lawns or going to the park. And I am just truly thankful, Lord, as these 10 commandments continue to be given to us, we see that each one of us is for our benefit, and nothing more clearly than this one. You don't want us to be consumed with work. You want us to be consumed with You. You don't want us to focus on money. You want us to have our devotion turned entirely towards You and to have the faith that You will provide all things. And I pray, Lord, that for people that hear this and maybe they, you know, maybe they just wanted it to be about worship because here they are on Sunday and yet they're hiding this other part of their life. And I ask that it would be, that wouldn't be the case. That they would open up and see the family around them and the children that are being neglected and the life that they're missing out on living, and that they would take that time to be with them. And I thank You, Lord, that it's also grown up that we have time of worship. And I thank You, Lord, that we can praise You with all of our being. I thank You, Lord, that there still seems to be a semblance of Sunday being a day of worship, whether it be Sunday or Saturday or Wednesday, who cares. I just thank You that we have this opportunity in this country to continue to do that. And help us, Lord, to never help us, Lord, to never get into the program that Sunday is the only day of worship. And I know that that's what we're so tempted to do. We remember the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day. Worship is on Sunday. Worship is on Sunday. And I think we've gotten to the point where we don't worship You any time out of the week. And I know that's not what You intended. I know that's not the purpose of this commandment. You wanted us to rest, and You wanted us to worship You every day. And I thank You, Lord, for Jesus Christ, who took time out, who rested, who prayed, who spent time with You, who got away. And ultimately, Lord, I thank You that He has gone ahead of us into the Sabbath rest. And we look forward to the time that we can leave this world and be united with You, with Him, and all of those that have preceded us in faith, and that we can be joined with them. We thank You. In Jesus' name. Amen.